Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Here it is. What, it's Thursday, so this week is flying by fast.
Okay. Now, before we go any further, I think it's important that we give the people in our audience a slightly different look at the real Bill Knight and a day in his life. Oh, now, yesterday, my cohort in crime was driving back from a very nice time up in New England. He was getting ready to, I guess, get on the Massachusetts Turnpike just outside of Boston, and he decided to stop off first and, you know, get some gas and maybe get himself a sandwich and some donuts. And, well, you explain the rest of the story.
Well, I was a good boy in my trip up. Actually, I was in North Grafton in the Boston area, too, so all there around. And but either way, you know, I spent Easter Sunday, you know, up close to the Hampshire line.
I'm laughing already. I know the story.
So, you know, I'm going, I love Bavarian cream and I love Boston cream.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, you know, I've been a good boy. I haven't had donuts in a while, you know, and keeping my diet healthy.
You look good, yep.
Mm-hmm. I said, for the road, man, I'm going to have a couple of Boston creams.
Absolutely.
Man, that's going to be great. So I go to a place called Flynn's, and I go to get my gas. And, you know, the lady argues with me because I took out my debit card to pay for the gas. And I said, no, run it as a credit. Well, what's your PIN number? I said, I don't remember the PIN number. Well, that's why I do it as a credit. Oh, no, sir. Anywhere you go, you have to have a PIN number. I'm going, not in Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, and most of Mass, too. As far as I know, you don't need, I haven't had to. I've had this account 20 years. So she puts in a code, and I get my gas. And then they happen to have the Dunkin' Donuts there, you know, because it's a big plaza. So I go and I get my, you know, a couple of, you know, Boston creams.
Absolutely.
In the bag, and I said, anything else?
Well,
yeah, I want
trip.
A cap.
Yeah,
I want a cappuccino, you know, for the road too.
Yeah.
So you know, they, you know, it takes a while to hear the machine going. I get my large cappuccino and I pay for it. And I go out to the truck. I'm happy, man. It's gassed up. I go. I said, it's one other thing. I'm going to go to the Market Basket because they got a great deli there.
Yeah.
And they do great sandwiches. They do all kinds of good stuff there.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, it's a little after 11. I get my number 18, and I'm waiting, you know, and they have, you
like
know,
a good, like a good customer. You're waiting in line.
Like a good customer. There's people there, and, you know, they were working on number 15. I waited about 25 minutes. Now, a tall man of foreign descent, we'll say, comes in. He gets number 19. Apparently, he didn't speak English, but I didn't know that. Didn't care. I was number 18. And finally, you know, 25 minutes later, they get around to me. Number 18. I say, yeah, that's me right here. And she goes, well, what do you want? I said, oh, I want, you know, I want the tuna, you know, sandwich, you know, the tuna salad sandwich. And I have all these things I want to, you know, I'm looking forward to the lettuce, tomato, the provolone cheese. I want the banana peppers, the jalapenos. I want the
I'm gaining weight
peppers.
Just hearing the hearing what you're putting on
you
it.
Know, and the olives on it. And they have this relish that's a red relish. That's a hot, sweet relish.
Oh,
that
sweet
I
and sour kind of thing?
No, it's not sour. It's hot and sweet.
Really?
And it's good. So I said, I'm looking forward to this. But then that big tall guy walks up. And he's pointing at the sign because what they do, since there's three people there, like if one person's working on number 16 and the person that was working on 17 is done, they pick the number that's up there that's showing, which they all advance when they're done.
So you're saying they show the number that's
going to
be next, going to be next, right?
So 18 was up there, and when I said yes,
you're
you know, here it is. They hit the advance, so the other person, if they're ready, can take number 19, which they're not. They're still making sandwiches. So, you know, I'm there doing my order, and the guy comes up and kind of bumps into me, and, you know, he holds his ticket up 19 because they had advanced it.
Yeah.
And he didn't speak English. She goes, no. We're working on 18 right now. You know, and they're arguing for a few minutes.
Yes.
She's speaking English. He's speaking something.
No comprende, yes.
And I'm sitting there. She goes, sir, show him your ticket. And I show him 18. And he's like, shrugs his shoulder, like, so what? He points at the sign. It says 19. He's got 19. His mind, his language, he's next.
It's like the lottery. He has the lottery number in his hand. See, 19.
He's got the next winning number, and he should, because it's showing right now. And the guy behind me who's been waiting for 25, 30 minutes, too, is going, well, if they wait on that guy next, I'm number 20. I better be after him. So and the lady next to him has got 21. She's going, well, you know, if they wait on him and you, then I'm next. So in other words, Bill Knight is screwed. So I just sat there and said, you know, I was really hungry for the sandwich, but maybe God's telling me, Bill, you don't need that sandwich. Yes. So I just, I said, I patted the guy on the shoulder and said, you go ahead and go next. I handed her my ticket and I said, you know, basically screw you. Not loud, but I just, but loud enough, I just walked out.
She could sense your displeasure.
Yes. So I get in my truck, I fire it up, and I'm going, well, at least I got these two Boston creams
and,
in my
and like
cappuccino.
A mature man that you were, you are, you burned rubber out of the place.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I punched in my GPS to pull up the map, you know. And, and I'm going, I go, well, once I get on, you know, 122 to go to 90 and get on 90 and, you know,
Mass
get
Pike,
rolling home. You know, so I'm rolling on. I said, well, I got my cappuccino. Now, when I ordered the
cappuccino, the good news is, though, Bill, you had your donuts. You got your cream-filled donuts, right?
Oh, yeah, I really did. I was looking forward. I said, at least the trip is salvaged.
Yeah.
Well, when I ordered the cappuccino, she goes, do you want sugar and cream in that? I said, no, I just want the cappuccino. It's a large. And I heard that machine going in the background, so I knew it's going to be a good one. It's really mixed.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know, you imagine the large cup, and it's got a quarter cup of regular coffee, and just foam bubbles all the rest of the way up. That's what I had.
You had a cup of
black coffee. I had a cup of foam with a quarter cup of black coffee.
But at least you had the cream-filled donuts.
Yes, and I said, well, I'll reach in and I'll grab one of my Boston creams.
Sure. You know?
That's my son. I've been good. I've been really good. I said, you know, come on.
I mean, you could have said,
and I bite into that, and I'm chewing around. I'm going, wait a minute. It's a nice cake with the chocolate on the top. There's no cream inside.
But Bill,
that sucks.
I got two.
What are the odds that they both had no Boston cream filling? I'm going, God, you're really getting to me, aren't you, man? I mean,
yes.
I can't have the Boston. I can have the Boston cake
did you have
with the
second,
chocolate.
Did you have the second
donut? Oh, yeah, I ate it, too, you know. And,
wait. The second donut didn't have cream either?
No, it had no cream. So I was out without my sandwich that I had starved myself for that morning. Why is it more than... I mean, from there to Hartford, there was a lot of cussing going on with a rainstorm in my face. Didn't have my donuts, didn't have my coffee, and I didn't have my ding-dang sandwich.
The funny thing about it is I think we all can kind of relate to that. We've all had something like this happen at some time. And by the way, I love the fact that the guy couldn't speak English. I mean, who would think that in Massachusetts,
you know what? I'm not mad. I wasn't mad at him.
But who could think in Massachusetts, of all places, they would have somebody up there who couldn't speak English? I mean, it's Massachusetts. Why would they have? Oh, wait a second. Oh, they have those illegals up there now too that they're bussing in by the train load, or you know.
Hey, he had a nice jogging suit on that was brand new, so I don't know.
No,
anything.
They're getting those free too, you know.
Well,
they're getting
those
free
too,
and you know they hand them a $2,500 gift card every month.
Well, I didn't wait around to see if he had one of those little red or white gift cards. So,
well,
I was out of there. I just said, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was something in the Boston cream that would have made me sick. Maybe the chicken salad was tainted, and God said, no, we're going to give that to somebody else more deserving of the taint. I don't know. You know, all I know is...
You didn't get your sandwich, and you didn't get your donuts.
I didn't get my sandwich, and I didn't get my donuts the way I wanted them. I got nothing. And I didn't even get a coffee to really swirl it down. I got a swallow.
And you had to fight to pay the darn gas bill.
I mean, do I get the gas free, you know? And, you know, I was like, oh, geez. So I was really actually happy to drive through, you know, that storm front.
Yeah.
Through, you know, Massachusetts.
You drove through some wild weather. You did.
You know what was the worst part?
What?
Is you're on the road and, you know, the truckers, which, you know, God bless them, they're delivering the goods. But whoever owns the trailers, they're not putting mud flaps on the trailers anymore.
I find that hard
tires,
to believe. Yeah.
They make a big mist in the air, so you got a lot of trucks on the road, which is no problem. And we're all trying to, you know, get ahead of that storm. You can't. It's like driving in a cloud.
Well, you know, Bill, they probably cost, about $300 a set of two.
Oh,
maybe?
It's probably more than that. Maybe you know, one wheel is $100 to $300
bucks. They probably have said to heck with it. You know, I got a story coming up today about gas prices, but now we got to get serious, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you're back, thank God. You had a good trip, and you beat the rush hour.
Yeah, you heard. Now that you've heard Knight's Lament, you know what it was.
I think nobody
knows my pain. But
we only tell you this because no matter how bad your day goes today, you could have had Bill's days yesterday. You could have had.
Can't be that bad. It really can. Yeah. It could.
When you go into your Dunkin' Donuts or wherever Krispy Kreme today, and you get your donut and there's cream inside, you're one up on Bill.
Yeah, you are. You know, the only other donut in the world that's worth its worth it is the Round Rock Donut from Texas. But I know how to make those. I know the recipe. So, you know.
You know, you say it's a bigger donut than the average donut?
Well, it is a big donut. But
see, and it's from Texas, and it's called Round Rock, and I keep thinking like cow flap, you know.
Because there's a river with a big rock in it that's round.
Yeah.
The town got its name.
Very clever.
You know, by the rock, like Plymouth Rock. And then there was a family that had this recipe for a donut. It looks kind of like an orange cake. And there's a reason people, it's food coloring. No, something you put in it. But either way, you have the recipe, and it was a family recipe. When they sold the restaurant, people bought it and said, well, we got the world famous. They ship them all over the world. They didn't sell the recipe, but they did find the recipe. And how they found the recipe, they decided to remodel the place. Mm-hmm. And the original guy that came up with the recipe that made him famous, when he came up with it, he wrote it on the wall. And
really?
They wallpapered over it.
Uh-huh.
So when they came in after years, said, well, you know, we got to freshen up this place. And they took it down.
They steamed and got the wallpaper off.
Lo and behold, there was the recipe that the family wouldn't give up.
Wow. See, a little treasure behind that wallpaper. A lot of stuff happened in Bill other than just your donut extravaganza.
Like I said, the Knight Lament. But, you know, we've got the American Lament that's going on right now.
Elon Musk yesterday, I don't know if you heard about this, he's voiced his concern over the surge in voters registering without photo ID in three key swing states, Arizona, Texas, and Pennsylvania. That's right, PA. On Wednesday, Musk reacted to a post from something called End Wokeness, which highlighted the skyrocketing number of voters registering without a photo ID in the aforementioned states since the start of 2024. The Post pointed out that Help America Vote Verification allows voters to register using the last four digits of their Social Security number. The data is publicly available on the Social Security Administration website. But here's the thing. They're giving a lot of illegals a Social Security number, would you believe, just for coming into the U.S., and those that aren't getting the number, a lot of these people are getting stolen Social Security numbers and registering. All you need is the last four digits, and they don't check it. They don't check it at the polling place.
Well, then you can make up a number.
Basically, yes, that's exactly what you can do.
You could go online, get a free lottery number generator, and, just give me single digits, four of them, and it could come up with a number, and if they don't check it, and after the vote is over, and somebody could say, wow, we have the same last four digits 1 million times over. What's the odds of that? Well, it doesn't matter. The election's over.
But the thing is, they're just letting it happen in PA and the other two states. So it's Texas and Arizona. It's driving Texas nuts. They're really upset about it, and they don't know how to stop it. But
it was a Republican state. Why is this happening now?
Well, it's because, and look what they're going to do in PA, for example. You know what they did in PA in 2020? We talked about it many times on this show. People forget it, and they don't. And a lot of people who aren't paying attention don't believe it. But you know, we trust our lying eyes. You saw it. I saw it at 10:30 at night on the election night. Trump was up by 800,000 votes, and then they decided to stop tallying the votes. They closed up the polls. They sent everybody, not everybody, most people home. They had a couple of people left over, and those people were reaching under desks and pulling out boxes of found votes. Do you remember that? And all of a sudden, and trucks were backing up to the loading docks at these buildings and dumping off boxes of votes. And suddenly, the next morning, Trump was behind in Pennsylvania.
Now, they tried to explain that, those votes had already been there, just hadn't been counted and tallied. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's true, that's fine. But why did you send everybody home, lock the doors, shut all view inside, but you forgot about the surveillance camera, but you stuck around and said, what the hell, we'll stay here. We're here. We're going to go ahead and count them so that we don't have to be accounted for when the counting of this. You know, that is BS. And, you know, my comment to my Democrat friends out there, it was a fair election. Well, take that into account. Well, what about this illegals getting, they have a right to vote. Well, they're not citizens. Well, they have a right to vote. Let me ask you a question. If they weren't in the equation, are you telling me that you could win the vote without them in the equation?
Oh, no. Right now, all the different polls, Biden is substantially behind, and his lead is diminishing almost daily.
Well, yeah, daily, but now they've been on a fight, and they've been saying, you know, 2 days ago, he's only 5 points behind.
Yeah, but
one day ago is, he's a point behind. He's actually by their rapid recalculation, he's a couple of points ahead today.
They're trying to sell the fact that Joe's strong right now. Let me give you an example. Yesterday on CBS Mornings, Jill was a guest, and they actually asked, one of the reporters on the set actually asked a serious question. Listen.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Keep dreaming. You hear the guys go, yeah, right. I mean, that was a reporter on CBS yesterday morning, an accidental piece of real journalism. And her attitude, if you notice, was very defensive, very kind of angry. No, he's not. No, really, he's doing great. And then she says in the next line, he's coming up. I'm going to play it again. Listen carefully to what she said.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
This says to me, my opinion, that the real person who wants to remain in the White House isn't Joe, it's Jill. Jill.
Well, Mike Johnson sat there and accidentally let it be known that Joe's not the man in charge.
Well, I believe that.
So who is the puppeteer behind the curtain?
Well,
is it Jill? Is it Obama? Or is it Jill that whispers in Joe's ear just to keep him upright? She doesn't care about him.
No.
She's way younger than him. You know, she was an opportunist, and he was a pedophile. That's their romance. Hell, during his years in the White House, he dabbled around everywhere he could. He still sniffs around, and come on, he is what he is. He's a liar. He's a racist. He's a cheat. And go back and look at the real history, and you'll see it.
I heard a story this morning, and it really shook me up. 69% of the Democrats think it's okay to cheat in the election if it means you save the country from Donald Trump. 69% of the Democrats polled think that cheating in the election is acceptable if it keeps Donald Trump out of the White House. Think about that for a second.
I believe that because I see that everywhere I go. The Democrats, it's not that they have the big number. They do have the big mouths. And they do, the Democrats do own the postal system. They do own the media. And even though, they got a bad candidate, you know, they can sit there and claim victory when they got bloodied all over the place. Well, we won that skirmish, boy. I'll tell you what, because we were the victors in this. And, yeah. You know, in reality, they're the losers. But, you know, he who holds the mic and wields the camera and controls the media.
That's true. I totally agree. And people don't realize the power of the press, and they control the press. All you have to do is watch all the channels, even the ones that you think you can count on. There are some exceptions. For example, like on Fox, you can count, I think, on Maria Bartiromo and Jesse Waters for sure, and maybe Laura Ingraham. But a lot of people who you thought you could count on that network are not reliable. They really aren't.
Because I think that they march to the order of who's going to, you know, write their check, and they'll be able to cash.
They make a lot of money, Bill. These people make a lot. I mean, Brett Baer makes, I think, $8 million a year.
Yeah. You know, the Joe's mental acuity has been challenged all along. Obviously, he is not all there. He lost a few marbles in life. But, you know, they're now making that a campaign issue. You know, because what they're doing is, you know, if you got a mountain of bad, it doesn't matter whose mountain it is. You put some spin on it. Mm-hmm. So Trump is, his mental acuity is, you know, they've challenged it. He's passed. Yeah. He's done well. Very rare does he flub up in public, and everybody does. Well, but
he stands for, Bill, Trump, as opposed to Biden. I mean, the things he stands for are so pro-American. Mm-hmm. How do you? I mean, forget the.
Well, they're painting that as radical now. You know, the thing he stands for is a very minute, fine line thing that he stands for. And even Joe is out there going, you know, he's a 77-year-old Joe or whatever he is, or I think he's older than that. What is he, 79, 80?
No, Joe is pushing 80. I think if he's not 80 already, he's close to it.
But he is challenging now when he's out there and he can stand up and he's awake, you know, Trump's mental acuity. And I'm like going, what?
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing that? But see what they're doing. And the media is right there going, you know, Trump is in question. He might not be mentally stable.
Let me give you an example. The media, along with the Democratic Party, is trying to tell the country that the most important subject, the most important topic is abortion. That's what they're trying to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. They're saying the number one topic. But polls say the number one topic by far right now is border security. Mm-hmm. And that the Democrats do not want to point to that topic because they're the ones who have failed the country on the border, the security of our country. You know, all they need between now and November is a major catastrophe of some kind that was initiated by the illegals who came across. They stopped yesterday. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not. Bill Malusian from Fox News did a story on this, and I got to find it right here in my little
somewhere in your notes, dear. If you find a Bavarian cream donut with the real cream, let me know.
Per the Border Patrol, 182 Chinese nationals, 182 Chinese nationals were apprehended by Border Patrol after crossing illegally into San Diego yesterday. Not last month, not in the last 3 months. That was yesterday. And he puts down at the end, Malusian writes a reminder, apprehended doesn't mean deported. It means they were stopped, 182 illegals, but it doesn't mean they were shipped back to Mexico. They're here. Now, they were military-aged men for the most part, alone without families. What do you think they're doing? Do you think that maybe the Chinese are shipping battalions of soldiers into our country right now? You know, they got a ton of money already in this country. China does. People say, how are they going to arm them? How are they going to arm them? You give them enough money. You give the right people enough money, they'll get whatever they need. They may not be fighting with Chinese AK-47s. They may be fighting with, M4s that they buy here or modified assault rifles they buy here. you know? And there's a black market for weapons, by the way, in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get their weapons. That's not a problem.
They can break into your house and steal your legal weapons.
Yeah.
And if they shoot somebody with it and it traces back to you, who's responsible?
Yeah, Bill, I don't put anything past any possibility like that. I mean, we're just ignoring the problem. I find it every day. It's mind-boggling when you think about it. But we see these people crossing into our country, and you're saying to yourself, a healthy, sane country would immediately put a stop to this because it is a mortal wound. This is going to destroy us as a nation. It's not going to be something that can be patched up. I said to my wife a couple of days ago when I saw a picture of the illegals pouring across the border, they have a caravan approaching our country right now as we speak. It will be here in a matter of days. When I say caravan, I'm talking maybe 10, 20,000 people walking up the highways in Mexico towards the U.S. They're coming here because Mexico's allowing them. Mexico is, they probably
How can we afford this?
Well, no, we can't. And, you know, I hear, God bless Trump, I hear him say, we're going to ship them all back. And I heard Trump say in one of his rallies that he said he knows he's going to hear from these countries that they're going to say you can't ship them back here. And Trump's answer was, hold your britches, they're coming. That was his answer. It's almost a direct quote. Hold your britches, they're coming. And I think that's great. But realistically, they're saying now the figure is 8 million, but realistically, the figure is probably twice that. So maybe 16 or 17 million people in this country. I don't even know, would you have enough airplanes to ship that many people back?
You don't have enough airplanes. The trucking industry is on its back, you know, gasping for air because a lot of the companies have gone broke during the Biden administration. The food supply is down. You may not have seen it entirely at the stores yet, but it's coming.
Well, you know,
there's more bad news for you.
The cartels, Bill, are responsible for so much of these illegals getting across the border. Do you think that they're going to allow let's say they should put them on trains. Do you think they're going to allow the trains to ship these people back to their countries? I think they'll blow up the tracks.
No. Yeah, they'll look, they're here and, you know, they're here to change the country. Now, you know, the interesting thing is, if you go by an apartment complex in a woke city, you always can tell because they hang their national flag off their balcony. You can't do anything about it. But they can do something if you hang the American flag off of your balcony.
Well, it's hateful.
Here in America.
It's hateful, yeah.
Yeah, it's
That's
hateful,
what they tell
and you.
You
shouldn't do that because America is discriminatory. And we really, this is an invasion invited by Joe Biden. Now, Joe has done a lot of things, all right? You can look at the economy and the debt, and Republicans are responsible for it too. But you know, the CEO of Bank of America, along with I think the president of Wharton College or
Wharton
University.
Business School, yeah.
Yeah, business school. They predicted impending economic doom, and it's starting now. Now, they're saying that by the year 2054, we're going to be in chaos. But they're also saying that the national debt, which is 34 trillion right now? Mm-hmm. They're saying in that 20-year span, it's going to go up to $141 trillion. That's a $107 trillion increase. And they also predict the ratio of debt will surpass the GDP of the country. So our gross national product, what we produce, will be far less than our debt.
Oh, sure.
And that, my friend,
we're bankrupt. We're bankrupt then. Yeah.
Yeah, that will happen in the next 5 years, and it started trending with Biden. Don't blame it on Trump. This was Bidenomics, and a lot of the stuff that Trump inherited, he did inherit from the Biden-Obama administration.
Well,
friends, we're in trouble.
I got to play something for you. Joe Biden He said this. I want you to listen. He said this in 2022.
Today, I'm announcing a plan to refill the Strategic Petroleum Oil Reserve in the years ahead at a profit for taxpayers. The United States government is going to purchase oil to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Okay, so he promised to refill. He promised to refill the oil reserve. He promised it.
Yeah, but he sold it. He shut off production. He sold the reserve to who? China.
Right.
And then he said, but we're going to buy it back because we'll get it cheaper.
Well, here's what they said yesterday, Bill. This is yesterday.
Today, the Biden administration announced that it's going to pull back its plans to refill the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. You know, they drained that to try and bring gas prices down earlier. Well, they've been trying to fill it back up, but now it is way too expensive. So they say we hit $86 today on the futures market. They say it costs too much, so we're not going to do it. And now is the time of huge political, geopolitical risk out there. So I don't know. This summer could be a tough summer if you want to drive somewhere.
All right. So that was from Fox Business yesterday. And so Steve Doocy from Fox, he asked Karine Jean-Pierre. Now, mind you, Joe did a press conference in 2022 where he went out in front of the microphones himself and said, don't worry, we're going to refill them, and we're going to refill them at a good price, and everything's going to be great. He said that himself. But here's what happened yesterday with Karine Jean-Pierre.
Goodness. Okay.
Thank you. First, so you guys started draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and help with the Putin price hike a few years ago. Said you were going to refill it, but now it doesn't seem like that's happening. Why?
Well, I believe the Department of Energy is responsible for that particular component, is refilling that. So I would refer you to the Department of Energy. I know there are certain components to that and how they were going to move forward in refilling it. They would have more specifics on that for you.
Okay.
So if you have Karine Jean-Pierre on your right and a box of rocks on your left, which of the two items is smarter?
Well, the box of rocks.
Okay, just very, very, yeah, very good. I mean, the
box does not waver in any of its policies or decisions.
Yeah, you know, there was a time, Bill, when the press secretaries were actually well-versed and knowledgeable, but not in this administration. She's a numbskull. I'm sorry. You know, she defers to the Department of Energy. You know, I mean, she could have given a more respectable answer than that. You know,
Joe Biden's decisions to put people in prominent places, it wasn't based on somebody that can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on diversity and cultural diversity and stupidity diversity.
Yes.
You know, when you start looking at the people and how woke things are, her life is her life. But there's only two reasons she got to be what she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can guess what they are.
Her skin color and her sexuality.
There you go. Pete Buttigieg, sexuality.
Absolutely.
Levine. Sexuality.
Yeah.
Let's just keep. You want to keep going down the list?
They hire their people not for their brains, but for their image. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes us look diverse. Well, keep in mind, if you happen to be black, Joe is a racist. You know. So you're just a pawn in his game.
That being said, Bill, the application window for the Voluntary Retired Return to Service Program opens on Thursday. Today. The Air Force.
Are we going to war, by the way?
Well, applications must be submitted by January 31st, 2026, to serve on active duty for no more than 48 months. Those selected can expect a return to uniform between 4 and 6 months after they apply. And I guess the program is limited to commissioned officers who held the rank of captain through lieutenant colonel. So they're doing this because the brains that run the military have said, we're done. You guys are losing your friggin' marbles. We're out of here. I mean, in this story I just read you, they show a picture of this guy in uniform dressed as a woman with two LGBT flags in his hands, and long hair. And I'm thinking,
when did that become our national flag, by the way? When?
But it never did. But the thing that gets me is that
I see churches Lutheran churches that fly it.
In the military, if you saw an officer dressed like that, you'd Section 8 the guy. The guy would be, he'd be pulled out and shipped out of the military. But now they wear like a badge of honor. Can you imagine walking around in a military base with long hair and women's clothes on, a women's uniform, like Rachel Levine? I mean, Rachel Levine, he thinks he's an admiral. I mean, he walks around. He wants to be referred to as Admiral Rachel Levine. I don't think the guy's seen a dinghy before, okay? I don't think he's been on a boat. You know, maybe he has. Maybe he's
Boy,
been
some
on a
loaded lines
maybe
here.
He's been
alone.
On a maybe he's been on a ferry somewhere. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that Rachel Levine likes to be called an admiral. You know, so anyway,
well, he can be the admiral of the ferry fleet. So I don't know. You know, get all the ferries together and put them out at sea.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the ferries that go across.
I think we can leave the ferries there for another show.
Jeez. Well, you're the one that brought it up.
Yeah, but you're the one who extended it. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
Anyway.
Absolutely don't.
Representative Lauren Boebert underwent surgery. Do you hear about this? You know, yeah. They went down to a one-vote lead in the House, the Republicans, and she underwent emergency surgery on Tuesday to remove a blood clot and was diagnosed with a rare and potentially life-threatening disorder, potentially imperiling the GOP's slim majority in the House of Representatives.
So there we go.
So now Lauren Boebert has issued a statement saying, don't worry, I'm coming back. This is only a minor setback. But apparently she has a proclivity to get blood clots when she travels long distances and stuff like that. And she's, in Colorado, and she has to work in Washington. So that's not great. So, and she's running for re-election in a new district, and she's doing a lot of traveling. So I don't know where that's going. I really don't. Maybe she can get
some. Oh, don't worry. They're gonna use that against her because they'll use everything they can, and if they can't, they'll make sure she gets the salad. It has a special dressing for her, you know.
I do find it interesting. I saw her on TV, Bill, like 2 or 3 days ago, and she was real spitfire, like she always is. And all of a sudden, the next day, she gets a blood clot. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Yeah, maybe you should get a food taster, Lauren, because you never know. NASA, have you heard this, Bill? NASA is ready to launch 3 sounding rockets during the rare celestial event of a total solar eclipse on April the 8th.
Yeah.
And they're going to launch 3 rockets. You're saying, well, why would they do that? The mission aims to shed light on how the Earth's upper atmosphere reacts to the sudden and temporary absence of sunlight. You know, so.
You know, it's interesting. We've had total eclipses before. Back in 2017, didn't we have something that went across the lower United States?
I guess this one's, this type of solar eclipse, though, is like first time in my lifetime, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, your lifetime. And I guess the next one is in 2044.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, you don't black out the whole world. It's areas. But this one is a special one.
I saw something interesting. Maybe you saw it, too. And I can't tell you the name of the town, but it's traveling over, like, several states and directly over the towns with the same name. Think about that for a second. Like Georgia, it's like 8 different states. They all have a town with the same name in it, and this eclipse is traveling over each one of those towns.
You know, there are people that are booking, the airline tickets are up, hotel tickets are up to be in that town for a 20-minute, 30-minute period of time when everything goes dark. I know one of my markets that I do stuff for is right in the middle of it, and they're having a field day with it because, I'm sitting there going, I'd have a playlist of songs to be playing when it starts to eclipse. Slipping in the darkness. You know, I'd have fun with the music, but who the hell knows what goes on in the dark? Why would you want to be in a plane where you're flying? Just take a night flight. You're in the dark.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you don't need to pay extra.
They are in the state of New York, they're locking down all of the prisoners. All of the prisoners in the state of New York during the eclipse on that day. On that day, they're all going to be locked down. Why? In the state of Indiana, now this I found really amazing, they're going to have a state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What do they know that we don't know?
Well, I mean, look, when you have a full moon, the tides change, everything changes. Even the chemicals and what goes through the rivers of your mind changes, and wacky people get a little wackier. So, yeah, you know, I might understand that a little bit with the total eclipse. Maybe it's like the tides change and everything like that. Don't be surprised if some strange stuff happens on Monday right around 3:20 in the afternoon, because that's when it's going to take place. So starting at 3, things will start getting creepy.
We were warned
Eastern time
about a week or two ago that the days to watch out for were March 25th to April the 8th. April the 8th is Monday, and I believe that's the day of the eclipse. Am I correct?
Yeah, it is. I'm thumbing through my notes while I talk. There's something else that's going on this week, and it actually, I kind of read it as a precursor. There's actually something going on tomorrow on the 5th that could be the staging for something that could nefariously happen or carry over to Monday. In one way, they're not related. In another way, they are. And I can't find it, but there is something that happens, I believe, politically tomorrow or economically, and it could
Let me tell you what has happened, which I think is strange. We had a 7.5 earthquake in Taiwan, and China called Joe and had a conversation with Joe yesterday. We haven't heard what that conversation was all about. And then the Chinese sent up 30 airplanes and had them harass the Taiwanese. They were flying over Taiwan and showing their military might. And so are we on the verge of China attacking Taiwan? I mean, if they're ever going to do it, it's going to be when Joe's in power and we have a feckless, powerless president who is not going to fight back. He's not going to. Do you think that he's going to risk everything to save Taiwan? Do you really think he's going to stand by Taiwan? Look what he's done to our ally in the Middle East. He's turned his back on Israel. He said to Israel, we're right here for you. We're going to stand side by side. And then a couple of weeks later, he was funding Iran. He gave them billions of dollars. I think it was $10 billion. And then Iran turned around and gave more of that money to Hezbollah and Hamas. I mean, the guy is unreliable, unpredictable, and dare I say, unpatriotic. I think we're suffering the consequences right now. I heard something yesterday, Bill. I think I don't know whether I believe this or not. I heard it from somebody who is a smart guy, appears to be a smart guy, has a real handle on politics, but he's more conspiracy theory. You know, you hear him more on the internet and podcasts than you do anywhere else. And the guy was talking about the fact that he's absolutely 100% convinced that we will never see the 2024 election, that it won't happen, that we will be in a state of emergency long before that. He believes that we shouldn't panic, that in the end we will come out stronger. We will be victorious ultimately when the country corrects itself. But he doesn't say how it's gonna do that, you know. But he doesn't think that we're going to have a 2024 election. What do you think?
I might tend to believe him. You know, I have theories and ideas on it, and that's a show of a different type that we would talk about that.
Let's just do it now.
No, I'll do it.
I mean,
you don't know where I'm going with this. That's what I'm saying.
Here's what I believe. I believe that all is not as it appears to be. You know, being told by the media, we're being told even by President Trump, we have to overwhelm the ballot. I don't think realistically that we have enough votes in our country to overwhelm the ballot boxes. I think that if 99% of the people vote for Trump and 1% vote for Biden, I think a computer can fudge it. I think a computer has the ability to manipulate it. And I'll tell you, here's why I think that's the case. You and I have been following with great interest the development of AI. You more than me. You have literally, I've seen you do it. You've taken key points. You've said, give me a story about X, Y, and Z. And then you feed those parameters, those X, Y, and Z, into the AI, and within 30 seconds or less, it'll give you like a four-page or five-page story. Well-written, yeah. Well-developed, interesting, intelligent story. That's AI.
Well, AI is a brain, but it is a global brain. Every computer, your computer, my computer, they're all connected. Can you shut it down? Not really. You would have to shut off all the power in the world. So when you take every computer, you could say the sum of all knowledge, past, present, and future, is in a network of computers. So when you ask it something or to predict something, it's an infinite brain that has everything right there.
Well, and here's what gets me is, you know as well as I do that it doesn't, for that example I just gave you, 30 seconds or less, you got a multi-page, mm-hmm. interesting, well-written article. And I think to myself, well, in that same split second, it can adjust to these voting, quote, irregularities. It can create a different scenario in a matter of seconds. I believe it did it in 2020. I believe that it was.
Sure.
I believe that it wasn't programmed properly in 2016. And I believe that Hillary was ticked off like she was ticked off because she knew the computers were supposed to guarantee her a victory, and somebody in the computer center had miscalculated something, even by one number. Go ahead.
No, that's not what happened.
All right, what do you think?
Like I said, it's the sum of all knowledge. You're asking the computer, who's going to win, or how do I win? Okay, Joe can ask that computer, what do I have to do to win? It's going to lay out a plan based on everything it knows. Trump could do the exact same thing, or somebody on the other side to lay out a plan. Now, at some point in time, you know, there will come a finality.
We're looking at it differently. No, we're looking at it differently. You are looking at it strategically. You're saying to the computer, give me a game plan to win. And I'm saying that the computer is the element in the system that actually changes in real time the outcome. I'm saying that it's not going to give you I don't want a map on how to get from point A to point B. I want you, the computer, to take me to point B instantaneously the way I want to go. That's what I think the power of the
computer is. That's a computer with a whole different function. Although,
What do you think happened in 2020, Bill?
Well, I think that she was guaranteed to win.
Was 2016. That was 2016.
Oh, 2020, I think the same thing. You know, they went back and they corrected a few things.
Yeah.
But, you know, even then, we could see what they were doing. I don't know that you're going to be able to see it, because if you can sit there, if you get enough voters on the roll, they don't have to vote. They just have to have the appearance that they voted, and you don't, you know, have all the people closing, blocking off the windows. Hey, you go home. Nothing to see here. And they'll do that, which there will be a little bit of that chicanery going on. But the simple fact is that they want to be able to sit there and solidify their lie that they're going to come up. They already know who's going to win and by how much. And they just want to make sure that their story sticks.
Now, question. Do you think that Donald Trump knows all this right now? And do you think that his people know all this? So my question is, if he knows that the fix is already in, if he knows they fixed it big time in 2016 and they corrected their mistake and made it even a bigger fix in 2020, what do you think the difference is? Where is the change going to be in 2024 where he can possibly win?
Well,
is it the RNC? Now, we do know that the RNC right now is filing lawsuits in a number of different key states to make it so registration has to be done with picture IDs and verification.
I don't have the guy's card in front of me. There's somebody that's going against Elizabeth Warren, and I met Earl. Earl's from Pennsylvania that lives there, that's moving out of Massachusetts, moving to New Hampshire. I didn't want to tell Earl that New Hampshire's in trouble too. But either way, you know, they do believe, the Republicans believe, that there has to be a certain amount of credibility, same-day voting, you know, verifiable voter ID, which, you know, the Democrats are trying to dance around that with the last four digits of a Social Security number that you really don't have to have or present. You need to have a voter ID. I don't know that it's that easy, but, you know, I kind of look at Trump and Biden in kind of a reverse scale, but I look at it almost like the Tyson fight. Everyone goes, well, Tyson's fighting a younger guy. How's he going to win? You got to watch out for a certain punch. But Tyson said something that's very interesting, and it's probably Trump too. You know, why does Trump do this? He's actually at the point of no return where he's got to do it, you know? And Tyson sat there and said, oh, well, fighting this guy? I'm scared as all hell. He goes, but now, you know, I embrace that. And now the fear has become the reality. And in the reality, I'm going to win and knock him out. Trump is kind of that same way. You know, forget about Biden.
But I think he has to have a realistic plan to beat the technology bill.
He believes in himself. He believes in the support team he's got. He believes in what he's doing, and let's just call it his training, that he is going to prevail. If not, then this is lost. You know, back when you were saying, oh, let's delve into it, this is the fight of good and evil.
Well, I totally agree with you. And I also believe, and a lot of people agree with me, that this could be our last election if we vote the wrong way. I don't think our country can stand four more years of Joe Biden and the people behind him and the damage that they're doing. Look at the damage that he's done already with the border and things like that and with the economy. Look at all that stuff that he's done with our standing in the world. Four more years of this guy who we have in office now, and we are toast. Jesse Waters did an interesting thing yesterday on his program on Fox. You heard about, you know, this guy, Judge Marchand, who he's the next in line to get. He's going to have his 15 minutes of fame because Trump is going to go in front of him, I guess, in the next case this month. And I guess Marchand's daughter has a business. She's the head of a firm in Chicago that raises funds for far-left organizations, and they've raised $93 billion since her father got the Trump case, and they've done it with the Trump name. They've used the fact that they're going to put Trump in jail. And so Daddy's gone along with that, and Trump has been a little ticked off. But now Marchand has put a gag order in place where Trump can't talk about Marchand's daughter. Listen.
Judge Juan Merchan, who's presiding over Trump's so-called hush money case in New York, slapped an even bigger gag order on the former president last night. Trump is banned from talking about the judge's family. Why? Because the judge's family was paid by the Biden campaign. The judge's family is currently being paid by Adam Schiff, over $10 million. Adam Schiff. This is the guy who conspired with Michael Cohen, the star witness in this case. Trump isn't allowed to say that the judge's daughter is a Democrat consultant whose clients, the Biden campaign, Adam Schiff, are fundraising off Trump's indictment. The judge's family's getting rich off Trump trials, and he's presiding over one. And if Trump's convicted, his family financially benefits. And instead of recusing because of a glaring conflict of interest, the judge is gagging Trump for pointing out the conflict of interest. Even Michael Avenatti says it's nuts. The lawyer tweeting this from prison, we can't be hypocrites when it comes to the First Amendment. It's outrageous that Cohen and Daniels can do countless TV interviews, post on social, and make money on bogus documentaries, all by talking ish about Trump. But he's gagged and threatened with jail if he responds. The judge is threatening to put Trump in jail for pointing out that his liberal family is getting rich off this trial, and richer if he's convicted. Now, the media, who doesn't support the First Amendment or care about corruption, covers it this way.
The judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money trial just expanded a gag order forbidding the defendant and former president from attacking his own family.
He doesn't just take his right to due process. He smears the judge. He harasses the judge's daughter.
President Trump, our former chief executive, is using the bully pulpit that comes with being a former president to put people in grave danger, quite apart from his attacks on the judge's daughter, which are totally uncalled for.
The judge's daughter isn't seven. She's 34. He's not attacking her. He's just saying what she does for a living. How's that an attack? He just wants a new judge, one whose family isn't funded by Democrats. Ned Ryan is the founder of American Majority. Is that too much to ask?
It's really not, Jesse. It's pretty appalling. This feels like a turning point in all of this lawfare against Trump. And with this case, the left is dropping any pretense, doesn't seem to care at all about having any pretense of legitimacy with the greater public. It's the gloves are off. It's bare knuckles now. A leftist judge with a case that was not taken up by previous the Southern District of New York, Bragg's predecessor, a case that should never have been brought. He's presiding over it. Trump simply points out his daughter, the conflict of interest with his daughter, who, by the way, it's $93 million in solicitations raised on this specific case. Oh. And all Trump did was point out these facts. And instead of recusing himself, the judge goes, you need to shut up. And the corporate propagandists with their circus seal act obediently rise to the occasion and say Trump's attacking the daughter. No, he's just pointing out facts. I mean, Jesse, this is a gross the attack on Trump's constitutional rights to defend himself, the abuse of the law, the legal system. On Trump, I have to tell you, the Democrats, the left, have made a massive bet on all of this lawfare that some of it will take Trump out. I'm making a bet that this lawfare is going to blow up in their face. When things like this really break in on the normies that are watching this, they're going to realize the gross abuse of power that the left is actually doing to try and bring down Trump. Because yeah. Orange man bad. And anything, anywhere, anytime is acceptable because orange man bad.
This is Stalinist Russia. This is how they had lawfare back in Stalinist Russia. It was a stacked deck against you. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, and let's take Stormy Daniels, because they used her, and they did use her. Somebody saw her as an opportunity a while back, even though she has no case, she's lost and everything. But let's take a look at Stormy Daniels. What has happened since then? And oh, she wrote a book.
Yeah.
Oh, she wrote a book, and that gives her credibility.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, I'm not a prude guy, and when I was young, I've been to strip clubs, and I'm not going to say I dated dancers, but I do. You know, I've talked to them, and I realized that women in that line of work, and I hate to say this, especially if they go over to that side of the fence where she came from, are dumber than a box of rocks. I don't think she wrote that book on her own because there was some. Stuff that I didn't read the book, but that was printed, and that I sat there and I said, "That's pretty well written."
Yeah.
You know,
well, a lot of people really write. A lot of people who write a book never see a typewriter or a keyboard.
So challenge her in that book. Get somebody to challenge her and show how stupid she really is. Oh, well, we had her on a Democrat talk show. Yeah, I'm sure you did. And she knew what was going to be, and she can get right in there and do her little zingers, because that's what Democrats like to do, the zingers. But, you know, Judge Merchant actually showed his colors on this. He goes, well, Trump has had a myriad of chances to challenge this, and he never did, which lends to, and he used the word credulity of the court. Well, now, if you're going to use that word, you're basically saying you're challenging, you're saying he's a snake oil salesman that is, you know, pulling the wool over the public. Well, wait a minute. You didn't say that about Trump. You said it about the court.
Here it
is. You accused yourself of being a snake oil
salesman.
Here
it is, April 4th, 2024. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that he gets a fair trial in this case? And
no.
Is there any possibility that he wins?
No, no, and you can't stop it. No, there has to be something major on the right that is irrefutable that makes the public go, oh,
yeah.
Stop the bus, stop the presses, and to where even the press can't cover it up.
So before the guy even steps 1 foot in that courtroom, before
the judge has already stated, he goes, you know, he's already stated in public that this guy is all guilty, right. He had his chance, and that's it. He's predetermined.
Let me ask you another question. In our legal system, doesn't it seem funny that, for example, you would think the Supreme Court of the United States would say to all of these cases, all of them, this is the number one Republican candidate for the presidency. We're in the middle of a presidential election. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, election interference. At the very least, if you don't dismiss these cases, everything goes on pause until after the elections and after we find out who the president is. Because this is classic election interference.
Yes, it is. But here's your problem. Again, we pointed out that the White House, they own, the Democrats own the mail, they own the voting machines, they own the news media. Yeah. Now, you know, you take the Supreme Court. Now, they got all the judges. Every case that's been brought about Trump has been Democratic-led by Democratic judges with select juries that were handpicked by them that are Democrats. I mean, unless it was Liz Cheney on something, who's a woke Republican who's shown her colors.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fix was in, but, you know, it wasn't sold as the fix was in because they own the media. Now, the media has gone bent over backwards for years saying, well, you know, the Supreme Court, we really don't need it because that's the fix job for the Republicans. So my contention is that everything that they've thrown out there, they threw enough stuff out there is that the Supreme Court would have to step in, that any one topic was bait for the Supreme Court.
You know,
because then if they rule on this one, they'll turn it around and shove it up their rear end and in our face that, see, they have, it's unjust.
There are people right now who believe that the only way we're going to be rescued is with some type of intervention, military intervention, because the system is so corrupt, so dishonest, and so tainted that no matter what Trump does, he's not going to get a fair shake, and the election is already predetermined. So the only way that the country is going to be saved is with some type of honest military intervention. And, you know, I think that if that were to happen, the first thing that they would say is that it was a Trump coup d'etat. It was a revolution. The media, that same media you're talking about, would be all over the news trying to say that Trump did this. It's we're between a rock and a hard spot.
They don't want Trump to be president. Let's just settle on that right now. They don't want him in the office. And, you know, they're in trouble, too. The wheels are off the wagon. The wagon is skidding down the street sideways, the Democrat wagon.
Yeah.
But, you know, our hope is with Trump. So if they can keep him out of the White House, and if it takes a war, they'll do that because they still control all the cards in the deck.
Do you think that they want us to have a civil war in this country?
Oh, I think they would go for a civil war. I think that they would go for an all-out war. Look at the fact that earlier we pointed out that we're going to go, and somebody might go, well, that's 2054 we're talking about, that we're going to be $171 trillion in debt, not in my lifetime.
Right.
Friends, that is 20 years from now. I don't care if you're 75. People are living to be 95 and even 100. You'll be alive and really not able to do anything then. And so the time to do it is now. And our GDP, Biden has thrown out the frickin' window, and it's going to be surpassed by the debt, which it's incredibly high now. I mean, rule number one, never live behind your, you know, you live within your budget, you do not do debt, and you save money. That is how, if you're 18 years old going, what am I going to do? You get a job, you know. And you don't live beyond what you have, and you set aside some money for savings and try not to borrow money. try to live off your own money, and guess what? The time will sit there and be on your side, and you'll end up a rich person. I didn't take my own advice, but
most people,
our country can't take it.
Most people I've talked to who are paying attention will agree that they think we're on the verge of some major attack or catastrophe, or something is going to happen. A shoe is going to drop sometime soon. They don't know what it is.
How did World War I start? Who started?
Some people will say it was King Ferdinand was assassinated in Austria. That's what they point to as being the turning point. But there were a lot of elements. It was actually building up for a number of years. The Prussian Empire was strong, and they were flexing their muscles, and they were looking for anything to be involved with the war and to expand their empire. You know.
Right. And you know, we didn't have the greatest economy at the time. Well, now the Fed,
we had soldiers who were practicing with wooden weapons, wooden toy guns, because they didn't have enough weapons.
But who made money on this? Well, yeah, the Fed did. And we don't own the Fed, by the way.
No, the munitions manufacturers made.
Yeah, and they sold war bonds to you. They took whatever money you had in the hopes that. You know, look, we're at that point again. And when I say 2029 is what they're talking about. It's 5 years, friends. And I don't even know that we're going to make the 5 years, because our GDP is not where it should be. And we're at that point.
How do you think this country would react if all of a sudden they wake up or they hear that they've been attacked internally by a rogue element that they can't identify? I would say that they were that mysterious element that they've allowed to come across the border. At some point, these people are going to do something.
They're here.
Yeah. At some point, they're going to do something. It's going to happen, Bill. They're not coming across to go on tour. They're not coming across to travel to all of the different amusement parks. They're here for a reason. They're here in this country.
And we're allowing them, when they sit there and, you know, the violent people do violent things to American citizens, or, you know, people that might have come here as immigrants legally the proper way, which is what our country is about, they were defended, not the citizens, the proper citizens of this here United States. So we are under attack, and unfortunately, the commander-in-chiefs and the agents of these foreign entities that are here is Joe Biden and his hench White House.
You know, a real unscrupulous president or leader in who wants to remove the illegals, they wouldn't be concerned about flying them back to their home country. They would literally bring them down to the border and dump them across into Mexico where they came from. You put them back in the country, the last place they were before they got here, you put them there. Can you imagine how Mexico would respond if you dumped 10 or 15 million illegals into their country? Do you think they'd be concerned about being humane? I don't think so. I don't think so. But, you know, we are between a rock and a hard spot. We've been a leader of the world, the free world. We've been dignified. We've been humane. And now it's kind of coming back to bite us in the rear end. You know, I was watching those invaders, push the National Guard out of the way a couple of weeks ago and charge into the country. And I was thinking, you know, if this was Germany in World War II, there'd be no charging the military. They would be ruthless in the way it would happen even today in a lot of countries like Russia. Do you think you can just barge into Russia? I don't think so. You know,
let me ask you a question. I mean, you know, in life, has the good guy always won?
No, that absolutely is not the case. You're being told in a lot of romantic stories and movies that the good guy is victorious in the end. But in reality, the good guys unfortunately get screwed many, many times.
We want to believe that because we're the good guys. So we want to hear, hey, I'm doing this for a good reason. You know, if you're a bad guy, you know that you're going to win. You believe you're going to win. You're told you're going to win by your people. And anything that bad that happens to you, it's going to be covered up. You know, it is a fight of good against evil. And I'll just leave it at that.
You know, Bill, I think we have a lot to talk about tomorrow, because we could continue this all morning long. all day long, actually, because there's so much to be concerned about. Yeah. So much that's happening in our country.
We're in a fight. We're in a fight.
We are.
And,
yes.
And unfortunately, you can't sit on the sidelines.
No.
That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
You can't sit on the sidelines. I mean, I could blow your mind with a thought, but that's a thought where, you know, if you've ever sat around a campfire, you're drinking a beer, you're doing some s'mores, and you have those deep talks. This is one of those. So, you know, get a six-pack and drink them if you got them, roll them if you got them. And,
Bill, maybe we need some conversations like that this week. Maybe tomorrow's show.
Or maybe a Saturday show when we can sit there and just, let's take the wrapper off this package and see what's inside. You know, but
you want
to there's a lot to talk about. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. Monday's going to be a big day.
Mm. If you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868. 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com. And I think we're basically out of mail.
We are, would you believe, one of our longest shows, but interesting program, a lot to talk about. I'm sure we're going to have a next, when the state of Indiana declares a state of emergency for an eclipse, you got to wonder what the heck is going on.
Oh,
you know?
I forgot. We forgot to mention, what state was it? Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
They have changed their laws about voting, and the Democrats are upset because.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, certain
accountability. Well, do you see what the RNC is doing, Bill? They're suing a lot of the states to get them to change their election procedure. That could be the key.
There's why we're not going to make it to the election. What happened in South Carolina? The new Republican governor said, "Yeah, you know what? If you legally got your gun, you can open carry it. Forget about the permit. You can put it on your dashboard. You can put it on your front seat. You can put it there in the
ashtray.
Coffee cup holder."
Another judge in Texas said that if you're an illegal, you have a right to carry a gun in our country. Illegal.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yes, he is. Yes, but there are a number of them out there, Bill. There are a number of them out there. Another judge, a magistrate, we mentioned it yesterday, down in Texas, said
magistrates shouldn't have that authority.
They charged into our country, but they were held for longer than 48 hours. They didn't get due process, so they are to be released. I mean, we could go on and on, and we really have gone way over.
Good and evil, and the evil's winning right now.
And all I gotta say, I don't have to say anything. You have to say.
At some point in time, you're going to realize you're going to throw up your hands and just go, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.